This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Film critic Garen Daly is here with me in Studio 3. Perhaps an unlikely guest to talk about the GOP convention, but not if we're talking about movies that speak to the Republican base. Garen, welcome back.
Hi, Callie. I was wondering where you were going to go with that not an unlikely person. Hey, what are you talking about?
So, just to be clear, we're not talking about political films. We're talking about films that espouse stated Republican values.
Well, it's also about films that conservatives and Republicans go to, because they go to films as well. And it was very interesting about a year ago when Dolphin Tale came out, Morgan Freeman said something that the conservatives didn't like. So the Hollywood Reporter actually did a survey of those kinds of films that conservatives like versus Democrats like, how many times the conservatives go to movies versus Democrats, what stars they will go see, how are they influenced by stars. So it's actually a really kind of wonderful insight into the film going demographic.
So how are we defining Republican in this context?
In this context, we're talking about films that you take the basic general themes that are talked about by the Republican politicians or around their planks. Things like faith, family values, American know-how, self-reliance, patriotism, all these things that are classic American things that Republicans and conservatives, espouse.
Well, I think one film that sort of brings together a lot of the patriotism and national pride, Apollo 13.
And you know what? That's one film that does cross over between Democrats and Republicans. But it does suit the Republicans very, very well for a couple of reasons. One is we rise to the occasion. I think that there is I'm not sure if it's a myth, but we have this feeling within America that when the going gets tough, Americans rise to the occasion. And in Apollo 13, we have three astronauts stranded in space. We have an entire organization, NASA, we have an entire world watching, and it's everybody coming together to help those people. That's a wonderful motive.
Let's listen to a clip from the 1995 film Apollo 13.
Does it bother you that the public regards this flight as routine?
There's nothing routine about flying to the moon, I can vouch for that.
Launch control, this is Houston, we are go for launch.
The clock is running!
Going to the moon.
This is the crew of the Apollo 13 wishing everyone back on Earth a pleasant evening.
Houston, we have a problem.
That's a famous line.
It's become part of the American lexicon. You know, there's something else that I like that I think conservatives like as well about Apollo 13 is no matter how significant or insignificant you are in this story, you have an impact. And that is an important part of the story, that the smallest guy working on those hoses to try and get them to breathe had just as much impact as the guys who were helping them fire the rockets.
Well, I think it's sort of that theme that's also carried out in a movie like Rocky, the original Rocky.
Well, that has so many things. And let's not make no bones about it. You know, Sylvester Stallone decided to make this a patriotic film. It was 1976. It was in Philadelphia. But it's also about rugged individualism, which is something Republicans and conservatives really kind of glom onto, that you can do it. Almost an Ayn Randish self-determination to be able to rise above his station to go onto the biggest stage of the world and to achieve a goal that is not necessarily something that would have been achievable at the beginning of the movie.
All right. Let's listen to just a bit of Rocky, remind ourselves about it.
Rocky. Do you believe that America is the land of opportunity?
Yeah.
Apollo Creed does. And he's going to prove it to the whole world by giving an unknown a shot at the title.
I just love that.
But, you know, when you think about the components that make Rocky really good, Bill Conti's music, that, you know, where he swells up and just the dong, the little bells going off there, it signifies everything that you want to have when you're looking to be emotionally stirred by one individual rising above his station.
And of course, we can never forget that dun 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 when he's running up the stairs.
Absolutely. As he's getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
But again, that's part of what the Republicans and the conservatives like, that you work towards what you're going to get. It's not given to you. You have to work at it. You have to strive for it. You have to, like, get up early in the morning. You have to eat raw eggs. and you do all the things that are necessary that your coach tells you to do.
And as we're talking about just avowed expressions of patriotism, certainly I think about Braveheart. And I want to ask a question before you tell us what Braveheart's all about and we hear a clip about it. Because one of the main characters and the producers of this film is Mel Gibson, who is himself a stated conservative. One doesn't have to be conservative to espouse these certain values in the movies.
No, I don't think so. And I think you fall into a very dangerous trap if you start doing that. I know that some people want to pigeonhole people like that, but when you look at Braveheart, Braveheart is a very strong epic about a particular point in time that it does espouse some of pieces of freedom and how you have to fight for it. The fact that it was made by Mel Gibson, when he made the film, you will probably recall that people said he was being foolish, that this was a stupid idea, making a three-hour epic about a Scottish guy no one ever heard of. But the fact is that he did tap into something that was very powerful.
All right, here's a clip from Braveheart. This is Mel Gibson as a 13th century Scottish warrior motivating his fellow Scots to wage the first war of Scottish independence against the King of England.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Well, that's pretty rousing.
It is pretty rousing. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you start thinking about it, he's exhorting these people who will probably never ever vote because they're serfs and they're lucky if they're be able to feed themselves. But the other part of it, this is what I call the St. Crispin's Day speech. Mm. In Shakespeare's Henry V, the good king Henry exhorts his men in a very similar kind of speech. And if you see a lot of these films, you will see the St. Crispin's Day speech at some point at the beginning of the third act as somebody is exhorting them on to whatever, to glory, to freedom, whatever it is that they want to do. The fact is that with Braveheart, it struck at a time when talking about freedom reinvigorated the conversation about American patriotism. And I think that's one of the reasons why it did well. It was a great epic. It's a good story. But Gibson managed to tap into something that was already bubbling on the surface.
So let's move to a what I think a lot of people would absolutely associate Republican values and pick them out really as a number one Republican value, and that'd be family values.
Yes.
That's talked about quite a bit. And so there are films that espouse this, even if they don't in their format seem to be. So I'm thinking of a film, Juno,
yes,
for example, where there's a pregnant teenager and she's not married.
Right. Well, and again, let's back off a little bit further about this. This is directed by Jason Reitman, but it's written by Diablo Cody, a former stripper. So she does not necessarily espouse those family values that I'm sure the many Republicans or conservative Christians would want to. But the story is about a young pregnant teen who, through an error of judgment, however you want to say it, is pregnant. But rather than running off to an abortion clinic, she weighs the matter very, very carefully and decides that she wants to give the baby to a worthy family. That is a classic Christian conservative value story, and that's why they like this film, because it is not something where you're going off to the doctor to end the pregnancy.
All right. So this is from the 2007 film Juno. And in this scene, Juno, played by Ellen Page, is discussing her options as a pregnant teenager.
You're thinking about adoption?
Yeah. And there's this couple. They haven't had, they've been trying to have a kid for like 5 years.
We found them in the Penny Saver next to the exotic birds.
And they have a legitimate lawyer. And I was going to go meet with them next weekend.
Junebug, that is a
tough, tough thing to do. It's probably tougher than you can understand right now.
No, I know. And it's just that I'm not ready to be a mom.
Damn Skippy, you're not.
Well, there you have it.
You have Allison Janney there also being the very supportive mom and helping her daughter work through this problem. Again, those are strong family values. Again, something conservatives appreciate.
Now, a point that you make, which I find fascinating, is that Republican or those that espouse Republican values seem to have no female leads. This is a situation where, of course, Juno was a young woman in this case, but that they're mostly male leads. So.
Well, we can talk about what's wrong with some of these things as well. I mean, you're right. I mean, a lot of these are not, you don't have strong women in them. You don't have people of color in a lot of these films. You don't have, challenging social issues. There's a great deal of black and white with these films. And again, I think what we should go back to is why do people go to the movies to begin with? Mm. And one of them is to be comforted, to be reassured that whatever their values that they hold inside themselves are being displayed on the screen so that they can feel reaffirmed. And that's one of the reasons why these particular films appeal to a conservative, because they're reaffirming what they already believe. They don't necessarily want to be challenged.
And I think what's important, too, is that we've played some action movies, some slightly action movies, some dramatic movies, but it crosses all genres. And to wit, the Incredibles come to mind in terms of espousing family values.
Well, I mean, think about The Incredibles, which is a Pixar film, and it was before Pixar became Disney. There is, again, I mentioned Ayn Rand earlier, this is a very Ayn Randish self-determination kind of movie, and it's also about a nuclear family unit, which is struggling because they're outside of the normal society. And each one has their own strengths and weaknesses. That's why conservatives love this, because there is this thing with conservatives that they like to be considered people are against them. There was a very interesting story that broke about a week and a half ago. Kelsey Grammer was on the Jay Leno show. And on the show, he was complaining about the fact that he did not get nominated for The Boss on Stars for an Emmy. And he implied that the reason he didn't get nominated was because he was conservative. And the fact is he'd been nominated 14 times. He's won 5 times. And he was just using that, I think, as an excuse to kind of understand why he didn't do it. But when you get back to so there's this feeling of like persecution that I think conservatives, I don't know if all of them do, but there seems to be something going on there. With The Incredibles, it was the same kind of thing where the whole family is feeling like they are somewhat being persecuted.
Well, I like it because I like The Incredibles because they're a family of people with superpowers trying to be normal.
So unlike you?
Yeah, right. This is from the 2000 film animated, The Incredibles. And in this scene, the father leaves the family table to go bowling.
I'll be back later.
Hey, where are you two going?
It's Wednesday.
Oh, bowling night. Say hello to honey for me, Lucius.
Will do. Good night, Helen. Yeah, good night, kids.
Don't think you've avoided talking about your trip to the principal's office, young man. Your father and I are still going to discuss it.
I'm not the only kid who's been sent to the office, you know.
Other kids don't have superpowers. Now, it's perfectly normal.
Normal? What do you know about normal? What does anybody in this family know about
now,
normal?
Now, wait a minute, young lady.
We act normal, Mom. I want to be normal.
So there you have the whole thing. If you're outsiders, but you're not really, because
right.
You got the same problems inside,
right.
And everybody can relate to that scene, that family scene with the teenagers.
I agree. and there's a wonderful scene where the boy is driving in the car, and they're telling him, "Don't win the race," and you'll get a medal. Everyone gets a medal. That doesn't make us special.
Yeah, I love it. And of course, you got it down here on the list as one of the a film with espousing Republican values. But I got to say, this is crossover, Groundhog Day.
Oh, of course. And, a lot of these films are crossover.
Yeah.
I mean, Apollo 13 is a great crossover film. I mean, Juno was a big art house hit. But, Groundhog Day, this is interesting. When it comes to genre of films, the biggest crossover is with comedy, where everyone gets to see the
and
human
laugh at themselves.
Yeah, they can laugh at themselves.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, you take a look at Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, and you look at his arc of growth. And, you know, we can talk about it when we talk about Democratic films, too. But the fact is that what Republicans like about it is that he has to disavow himself of his modernity, of his cynical, smarmy, smart-lipped modernity where he's always cracking stuff out because he's not real. He's not authentic. When he becomes authentic, then when he breaks that all down and becomes true to himself, then he becomes a worthy companion to the woman he loves. In this case, Andy McDowell. That's why the conservatives like it, because he becomes authentic and he disavows his modernity.
And, you know, he keeps trying, as we know, over and over again.
Right.
So here's a clip from Groundhog Day. And in this scene, Bill Murray is an arrogant weatherman trying to win over his camera woman, played by Andy McDowell.
What are you looking for? Who is your perfect guy?
Well, first of all, he's too humble to know he's perfect.
That's me.
He's intelligent, supportive, funny.
Intelligent, supportive, funny. Me.
He's got a good body, but he doesn't have to look in the mirror every 2 minutes.
I have a great body, and sometimes I go months without looking.
He's sensitive and gentle. He's not afraid to cry in front of me.
This is a man we're talking about, right?
This is one of the all-time funniest films of all. And here we see Bill Murray, to your point, going through his personal growth,
right,
trying to work hard to win this woman and establish a family for himself.
And he's very narcissistic in that scene. You know, and that's the other thing that the conservatives like when they break this character down, or he goes through his changes through the course of the movie, is he gets rid of his narcissism. He stops that. That's not important. And for many conservatives, eliminating that kind of narcissistic, snide, modern way of life is really to get down to the true, authentic nature of what a man and a woman is.
Well, and you know, what we can be as citizens, I think, as well, as that's espoused as well. So something I wanted to talk to you about, because it's easy in this way, if we're talking about, and I recognize we have crossover and all that, to fall into stereotype versus values. So
right.
When we talk about films that appeal to Republicans, you know, here, I don't think we've shown any of what might be stereotyped, the greedy, money-grubbing, as some might portray Republicans. This is more about looking at stated values and upheld values and bringing those films out to demonstrate that.
Yeah, I think if we went the other way, that's a cheap shot. I really do. I think that what you want to do is you want to take a look at this and to say, okay, you know, again, Republicans and conservatives don't go to the movies as much as Democrats. It's not their favorite.
Is that really
That's true, yeah.
Oh, why is that?
It is because I don't think that they see enough of what they want to see on there. And, you know, when it comes to, like, opening weekends, it's mostly Democrats versus Republicans. Republicans will stay at home for a while. So if you're making a movie that wants to appeal to conservatives, you're going to have something that is going to be in the theaters for a while, or has a specific kind of marketing to it. And the other thing is that there are certain stars that Republicans and conservatives just won't see. Mm-hmm. Michael Moore, Jane Fonda, mm-hmm. Sean Penn. These are people that are anathema to them. So if they're out there and they do feel that Hollywood is very liberal, and that they're not necessarily talking about what they believe in, they are less likely to see those films.
And that may also speak to the movement of the independent movement of some evangelicals to
Correct.
Create films. That's huge. That's big money, big support across the country.
Right. And they market it outside the normal media venues. And right now, there's the anti-Obama film, which is buzzing the airwaves right now. We're talking about a film that is a documentary that just trashes President Obama. It's doing very, very well. And again, it's being marketed outside of the normal.
But I would describe that as a political film. And
that hasn't really
been our discussion here.
Right.
I just meant that the films that are being produced by the evangelical groups are
Correct.
Really espousing certain values. So,
Correct.
All right, well, there you have it. Republican films that demonstrate Republican values or values for Republicans. And it's great to talk to you about this with the GOP convention revving up, Garen. We've been talking about those movies that reflect Republican values and ideals. And I have been speaking with you, the nonpartisan film critic. Garen Daly will be back next week to discuss movies for Democrats. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure.
And I understand you're sticking around to talk with Edgar later in the hour.
Yes, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 100th anniversary of Paramount Studios.
All right, we'll be listening. What local magazine is calling it quits after 25 years? How is a local college helping undocumented students? It's Friday, which means we'll go over the news, the local news that went under the radar. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to Boston Public Radio.